from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hard salami's okay, but it's not as good, right? Although maybe if you're French vanilla, you'd be like hard salami.
You mean the best vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The real, the delicious
the
vanilla.
The fake vanilla.
The creamy vanilla without sand and dirt in it.
It's Mike Shope.
I like that
sand
one.
Sand and dirt. The beans.
Yes, specks. Yes.
Are the problem.
It's granular.
The actual vanilla is the absolute worst take you've ever had. Because it's on different levels of offensiveness.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
And the Bulldog.
Maybe when you first made the ice cream, they were interested in making it, I don't know, good, and added cream to it to make it creamy, to, like, thus ice cream, not ice sand. Ice, gravel.
People, what do we even do?
I mean, what are we talking about?
Help.
Police! Help! Police! Help!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And it is a new day where I'm sure we will not yet again be obsessing over the Bills at wide receiver. I'm sure we will not be doing that at all. Let me say first, Tyrell Shavers, Isabella, Hamler, it's not right to be extreme, freak out about these cuts. Lots of players get cut. Hamler and Isabella were always long shots for me. Shavers was just an unknown to me until like a month ago or less. So Justin Shorter as well. So far, it's just, I'll say it, you might agree or not, it's just kind of unbelievable that it's unbelievable all that has happened at the receiver position for the Bills this offseason in a year. And, you know, for some of us, like the third or fourth year in a row, where we kind of thought the most important thing they needed to improve at last year to this year was this position, like young talent, depth. Let's keep drafting wide receivers. The wide receiver train, all of this. And kind of, this is a little tough on Samuel, but I was thinking today after the Shavers news, it just seems like every wide receiver news item, development, there has been this offseason has been a minus move. Samuel is okay. He's been a good player in the NFL. He's never been a wide receiver one. None of these guys has ever been a wide receiver one. Fine addition. This is also, I think, before the Diggs trade. They knew Davis was leaving. Fine addition, but not exactly when you put it with, you know, everything else that's happened. It's not that exciting, you know? Like, it's just fine, in my opinion, Samuel. Leaning into Khalil Shakir, a fifth-round pick from 2 years ago, who the Bills have really never leaned into before. They did a little bit late last season, and that was a story, and it still wasn't a lot. I mean, Diggs was on the team, but they pulled away from him. That's a big... You really have to have your fingers crossed for that to work. Kincaid even. I don't know. I go back and forth. When I think about the Bills at this position, and last year to this year, the last three, the Diggs years, which were just such smooth sailing, the idea of wanting to add, you know, a receiver or two in the draft, spending a first-round pick, was not everybody's favorite idea. But around here, we kind of pushed for it pretty hard, and 2 years ago, last year, this year, like, all right, come on, this year, finally. And they didn't quite do it. And this can come down to what you think about Coleman as a prospect or what you've seen so far. And he was not my favorite idea as a prospect. He was the eighth receiver picked. And it's just really, think about like the idea of trading the pick with Kansas City for Xavier Worthy, what that represented. This is kind of the same thing all put together, which is the Bills are really pushing their luck at wide receiver. They are really pushing their luck. Fine, they don't have tons of cap room. I mean, they spend in other places and have done that for years. The draft capital on the defensive line, for one thing. Look at who they are right now at wide receiver. It really has to happen that Kincaid is great, or that Shakir is great, or that somehow maybe as a rookie Coleman is great. Somebody's going to have to be great. And none of these guys yet in the NFL has ever been great. So you're going to sprinkle some Josh Allen magic dust here on these receivers and hope that the Bills are still the Bills. Man, they are really pushing their luck. Why do I say that today more strongly than yesterday? I guess I'd have to say because Shavers got cut. And I know. And probably, I say probably, that's probably wrong because of all the different times we all thought probably there was going to be something impactful that they were going to do with that position. They'll do something else here. Maybe not. 803-0550. Bulldog is off this week. Cut down day is a big day. It's, you know, what did I say yesterday or every year? It's not so much that your team is going to be better or worse when it's over. It's tough on the guys, of course. I want to say that at least once. I mean, I can feel for players who, you know, the dream kind of dies today for some of them. Of course, you can feel, you know, bad for that, you know, for players in that way. But are the Bills or any NFL team really better? Or, I mean, they're all getting worse, right? They're cutting 37 players. Does it really? You're not going to see the Super Bowl odds change, right, from cutdown day. It's a certain thing. So, you know, if you want to push back on, like, how I sound about the wide receiver position, you can. Because I'm feeling this way today because of Tyrell Shavers being cut. And, like, who was he, you know, a month ago? Or who was he, period? Man, though, they are really pushing their luck at that position without having, well, who do you want? Brandon Ayuk, who has not been traded. It's DeAndre Hopkins last year, who's also not young. It's all these, you know, it's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. But, you know, we talked every day about this before the draft, and plenty of fans wanted to see them get to Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell. Worthy is going to be a big one because that's the trade with the Chiefs, and he looks dynamite. So we've got him to think about. So many different times it's seemingly been possible for the Bills to, you know, sort of move up at receiver, you know, level up. And the guys they brought in, Hamler, Isabella, Chase Claypool, MVS, who's still here, Mac Hollins, when they signed minus moves, when they signed Mac Hollins, not a big deal. Like, it didn't really, I'm not sure how much we even talked about it, a little bit, but I never would have thought, due respect to the guy, I never would have thought that was going to mean he's actually going to play wide receiver in a meaningful role for the Bills. I think he is. I mean, that's kind of how it's always looked so far this summer, that he's the ex-receiver, and okay, you know, it's just off-seasons every year, you know, when the Bills were in the drought, what we would kind of do, not always me, but, you know, what fans would kind of do is what? You sort of talk yourself into stuff. This is why this year will be different. And, you know, I'm sort of a little bit colder than that, and I want proof. So that was sometimes harder for me to do. I don't think I was wrong. It's just sort of, to me, it took a little, you had to strain for it sometimes, and, you know, whatever. But you try to talk yourself into stuff. And then we've had these last 3-4 years when there's just been very little need for that. Smooth sailing. I mean, the team has been so good. Drafts, where we kind of look at it and go, they don't really need anybody. But year to year to year, they have not done the thing at receiver. This is, you know, post-trading for Diggs, and you don't need to necessarily go, you know, into the first round the next year after you've acquired this player. And they didn't do that, but they haven't done it at all. So no big get in free agency. You know, Coleman, oh, we'll see. Eighth receiver off the board, second round. It's just kind of amazing, you know? Like, all the back and forth about Super Bowl window, like, you're supposed to be in it. And we're going to find out if they still are, if they can survive this. It hit me today. The Bills seem like some version of the Chargers. So, the Chargers this year, they traded Keenan Allen. I mean, starting over. Traded Keenan Allen. Mike Williams left at the receiver position. Eckler left. Coaching change. Jim Harbaugh brings in Greg Roman. Of all offensive coordinators in the league, Greg Roman is the one you would assume the most. He's going to want to run the ball. So the Chargers, basically, they look like they could be very different and be very run-heavy because of all those roster moves and their coaching choices. They also have Justin Herbert. So what are they going to do exactly? Like, you've got Herbert, who is one of the – he's probably top 10. Maybe that's even conservative. He can be – he's not my, like, very number one favorite because I think he is a little bit conservative. But, you know, everybody's going to tell you how good he is. They're paying him like he's one of the best. And they've got this collection of – skill position players that really just don't impress you at all. Joshua Palmer, Ladd McConkey. I would have liked McConkey over Coleman, but all right, they made a draft investment too in McConkey. You know, running backs, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, who just maybe are at the end of their careers almost. And you've got Herbert. So we argue about, like, in fantasy, are they going to be as run heavy as you might think because of Greg Roman and these lack of receiving options? And I think most people think yes, but they do have Justin Herbert. Like, at the back of your mind, maybe there is a season where he throws for 5,000 yards somehow because he's that good. And the Bills resemble this, I think. Not so much, I mean, they're not rebuilding, obviously, but you've got Allen in his prime, and you want to think, maybe some people would say this about Justin Herbert, you want to think he'll just make whatever work. That's kind of how the Bills have operated here this summer. He'll just make whatever it is work. And I think the coordinator, he's not Roman, but he might be sort of a version of this. We saw what they were last year in the second half, going much more run heavy than they'd been. What do you think? I'm sort of bracing for all of this, you know, that...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to be more conservative team, and they're going to expect Allen to be so good that it still gets the job done for them, despite, I mean, a severe downgrade overall at receiver. You know, you're starting from Diggs, not just, you can't snap your fingers and have a Stephon Diggs on your team just because you want one. I mean, the Bills chose to trade him anyway. So that was a choice they made to get him out of here, which they didn't have to do. I don't know. I'm a little shook by all this. Why today? Because Tyrell Shavers? I don't know. They have all these, they brought all these guys in, which I said every time was what they should do. you're still looking, then don't be afraid to look, hoping for somebody to emerge. You know, Claypool didn't, got hurt. MVS, I don't think really has. Shavers was the one, like Sal, talking to Sal all the time, he was the one that seemed like he might be able to do that for them. Somebody that you weren't thinking about, you know, not a high draft capital player, not a, any draft capital player, free agent signing, but popping in camp and in the preseason, and, you know, waived. Not necessarily the end of him, but not a priority either, or maybe arguably enough of one if you're going to cut him in the first place. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is on WGR. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon to you. How are you today?
Good.
You know, I've been sitting back listening to the callers today about basically replacing McDermott and, you know, the Bills winning 11, 12 games this year. I had a couple questions to you, and I'll hang up and listen to you. Number one, back to the Bengals playoff game with McDermott, how he was so outcoached. After that point, I would have let McDermott go. And basically with Von Miller, I just don't see him being so strong with that Achilles tendon. You never recover from that. And I just don't think the Bills will make the playoffs this year. I'll hang up and listen to you, and thank you.
Okay, I didn't hear any questions, and I have not been having any conversations about Sean McDermott's job status myself. And Von Miller was a knee injury, I think, too. I'm not going to get into whether they should have fired Sean McDermott 2 years ago right now. I don't think that's what, you know, most fans are really thinking about right now. Thanks, Mike. Matt is next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon. Just calling because just a couple moments ago I heard you say that we had experienced a severe downgrade at wide receiver with the loss of Stephon Diggs. I know that he has been fantastic for our franchise. I know that for the last 2 years, without trying to quote specific statistics, roughly around the halfway point of the season, his production has significantly fallen off. He's been almost a non-factor in the postseason. With that, is having a handful of wide receiver twos that much of a downgrade? You think that still?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
Well, I'm just been going over it for like 15 minutes. Part of the reality in Diggs declining in the second half is a choice the Bills made in terms of how they played offense. You know, I mean, it's not like he doesn't bear any responsibility for that. I wouldn't say that. It's possible, this is probably part of the Bills' bet, it's possible that he is in decline. You know, he's, what, almost 30 years old or 30 years old? That happens. And they always say a year too early before instead of a year too late. Does anybody really not agree that they have not made a move at all commensurate with, like, a player of Diggs' caliber making the trade for him in the first place what he was? I mean, how many different ways do I need to say it? We talk about it every single day. They have 5 or 6 slot receivers. People that I listen to and read that I think know the absolute most about the receiver position all think Coleman is best suited to play the slot. None thinks Mac Hollins is like anybody's idea of a wide receiver one. Samuel and Shakir are interesting, you know, talents, but are not convincing in my mind as that. So that to me constitutes a downgrade. And not to mention Davis, who I know that by the end fans were like really done with him, but he did a lot for the Bills. So like Davis was, even last year, what did he have, 7 touchdown catches last year? Big plays. And somehow in here, they're going to have to find big plays. And I think most people would say, would look to Kincaid for this. And I just have to see more evidence that they're going to be able to use him, get him down the field. You know, seam stretcher type stuff. That's always the term I think of. It's almost a cliche to me now. But I guess all of this, you just want to see some proof that it can work. I say all the time, too, I think Knox is on the field a lot for this team, fitting with running the ball more, his contract, what he has meant to the Bills. So Kincaid is kind of my slot receiver, which means Samuel, Shakir, Hollins, like, are playing largely outside, Coleman too. And it just has never felt, it's never made sense to me. It's never felt like these were the best ideas for these players. I don't know how many different ways I can say that, but I mean, ask anybody to evaluate the Bills offseason at this position, who is going to tell you that they've, you know, improved? I don't know who's going to tell you that. Maybe the word severe was what tripped the wire for you. But yeah, I'm wondering if we all are, I think today, with all the cuts around the league, if they're going to just keep firing bullets at this position with a couple of guys who are being released by other teams. You know, don't you kind of hope so? If you're like me, you would hope so. Once the dust settles on all these moves around the league, Noah Brown, a veteran for the Texans, he's been with Dallas. He was good in spots for Houston last year. They had injuries, and he had a couple of huge games, one in Cincinnati, if I remember right, for the Texans. A little bit surprised I was, you know, that he was released by the Texans. He doesn't have to go through waivers either. If you've played 4 years in the league, he just becomes a free agent. So that might be interesting once that becomes official. There's Terrace Marshall in Carolina, who was a second-round pick maybe 3 years ago, and has just really never done anything for Carolina, but it's Carolina, so people go right to that, thinking maybe there would be a connection. Joe Brady was there when Marshall was on the team, I think. Kadarius Toney, that would be fun. Kadarius Toney, that or funny. I'd be really surprised if the Bills did that, but at the same time, these are the kind of things they've been doing all summer, even as recently as last week with Damir Bird and Deion Kane, looking for answers at receiver, and it doesn't look to me like they have them yet, or that they think they have them yet. Let's go to Griffin next. Hi, Griffin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I just wanted to bring up the fact that I'm pretty sure it's already been brought up 1,000 times, but what big difference is there between our offense and receiving core this year versus the Chiefs' receiving core last year? Like, they didn't have any big number one receiver last year. They had Kelce, but that's, you know, comparable to what everyone's anticipating for Kincaid this year. And then the receivers, you're talking a rookie Rashee Rice that in the beginning of the year had no production. And, you know, by the end of the year, he was something similar to what Shakir did last year. There was nothing at the start. Come near the end, and he was, you know, the number one target for the Bills. Like, I guess I'm not seeing how we have it composed this year compared to the Chiefs that won the Super Bowl last year. How is it that we're in such a shitty spot?
Well, we can't have you swearing. The Chiefs comparison, I like that you said that it's probably been said 1,000 times, because it has. And it's about the best you can do. The Chiefs did win the Super Bowl. Their offense was terrible. So if your idea here is that the Bills' offense will be terrible, but then they'll get into the playoffs in a weak division, losing 6 games like the Chiefs did, and then winning 4 straight, I'm down. Like, that would be awesome if that happened. But you can't just say Kincaid is Kelce. Kincaid is not Kelce. No one is Kelce. And yes, that's right. At receiver, they were not good at all. Rice came on. Maybe that's Coleman. You know, that could happen. Maybe Shakir walks in. It's only maybes. Maybe Shakir walks in as somebody superior to who they would have had at the position last year. But I don't want to be the 2023 Chiefs in the regular season. If my division is bad and I can go 11-6, squeezing out, you know, those wins, and doing so being 29th in the league in yards per, or air yards per attempt, or yards per attempt, whatever it was, I mean, some ugly numbers, then, you know, okay, I would take it. I'll take 11-6. I just don't, I'm an odds guy, you know, and if I have an offense that's really bad like that, I don't love my odds. But sure, it did happen. There's always outliers. They have the best quarterback in the league. The Bills have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's not impossible. It's just not. We're in the team building phase here of the, on the calendar. And I don't want to try for that. You know, that's what this is. The games will come along eventually. I can't wait so we can stop guessing and actually see what they are. But I don't want to strive to be a team like that. I don't think the Chiefs did either. They took their shots just like the Bills have. Whether that's Tony, that's Juju. Juju is actually back there. Sky Moore in the second round. Hardman, you know, MVS too. They did all this the same kind of stuff, hoping to get through. And they did. Somehow they did. 803-0550, cutdown day. Sal Capaccio at 4 to help me analyze it. Maybe by then, that's the team's deadline. We'll know everything that's gone down here for the Bills. We'll certainly find out as we go through the day. Trista will join me late in the show today. Trista Crick talking some NFL futures. And we've got all day to sort of figure out whether with these cuts and what has happened in totality at wide receiver, it will work for the Bills. It's certainly been the topic of the season, or the offseason. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off. Would love to hear from you next at 803-0550 here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.